Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep your open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, we can find common ground, or you can find common ground, so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back Denise Monge. She has been working with pets for a long time after a prestigious career with advertising agencies in New York City. She left to find true sense and fulfillment of her soul's purpose, which she found working with dogs. Upon certification through traditional dog obedience training programs, she realized there had to be more that could be done to honor the connection between pups and their humans. Looking for ways to foster those deeper connections, Denise studied with some of the top animal communicators and intuitives in the field and eventually developed her own unique blend of mindful dog training to help pet parents forge a loving relationship with their pups through the lens of mind, body, and energetic connection. Denise's proprietary process, translating beyond behavior, provides a roadmap to how your pet's behaviors can give you specific insight into the healing that is ready to take place. This includes limiting beliefs to process and which chakras they affect. Her integrative approach helps foster true partnerships and heart-centered connections that deepen the compassion and understanding of the lessons your animal companions are here to share with you, using methods such as meditation, energy work, animal communication, and pet numerology in conjunction with the fundamentals of traditional obedience training. Denise received her BS from Boston University, her dog trainer certification from Animal Behavior College. She's a certified animal communicator and intuitive energy reader through top experts in the field and a member of the Association of Pet Dog Trainers. Now, if you want to find out more information about her, you can go to her website, which is on the World Wide Web. It is petprana.com. Prana is spelled P-R-A-N-A, petprana.com. And so with that said, let me welcome Denise. Denise, how are you tonight?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me back. I had a blast last time, so I know that we're going to have a great conversation tonight.
I always enjoy having you on the show, Denise. I love your spirit, and I'm sure that all of the pets that work with you do too. And you do work with cats besides dogs and other pets too, right?
I do, not as far as traditional training. Traditional training, I've been certified in dogs, but from an energetic connection, sky is the limit. It's been dogs, cats, horses, lizards, crabs, fish, all sorts of things. And that's only the animals that we can see. There's a lot of the mythical ones that also tend to come up during readings as well.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of my favorite things about being in the energy is all things are possible, you know, and I think as children, we often believed and we knew that to be true. And, you know, that's why fairy tales are so magical to us. you know, we understood and we believed, and we didn't blink an eye when we saw energies portrayed in the cartoons like dragon energy or, you know, phoenix energy or unicorn energy. And then all of a sudden something happens that we shift our perspective and we're like, that's a childish thing. We should let it go. And we go about and we live our corporate normal lives. And then something tends to happen in our lives and even more broadly in pop culture. And we're like, you know what, let's go back to that. Like, you know, even if we think of examples like mermaids, right? Mermaids are everywhere in pop culture. You know, you can't, I think there's even like a rosé wine that has mermaids as the logo. So somehow they find their way back to us even as adults. And I think that's really a testament that as a community and as a society and as a collective, that we're becoming more open again to energies that might not be tangible, that we might not visibly see, but that we believe to be true. There's something at the essence of that energy that we can still connect with.
Well, one of the things that I have found to be true for me and my pets is that I've had pets come back to me. Would you like to talk a little bit about reincarnation as far as pets go and why some come back and some don't?
Absolutely. So one thing that I found is as I do pet numerology, which is something that I kind of fell into, and then I, you know, we say I fell into it, but, you know, it was divinely guided by the universe. And through pet numerology, you can really see, based on the numbers, which pets have been with you in the past. And pets reincarnate not only throughout different lives, you know, you've had past lives together, but also within the same lifetime, I've seen animal companions come back over and over and over again. And typically, those are the animal companions that you have more of a spiritual contract with. That you guys are here now to do some healing for other people as well. So you're going to be collaborating and working on this spiritual work. I seldom find that the animals come back just as cuddlers. There always seems to be a spiritual aspect to, all right, we have work to do, so we didn't finish it within that body, so let me come back in a different body so that we can continue our work. And one thing that I've also found tremendously interesting is as those animal companions in particular are at that point of transitioning and they know they're going to come back, they start training you ahead of time to have that psychic connection to start. A lot of times I find that they're like, you know, they start running away or going missing, but then they come back. And it's a little bit of that, okay, we're practicing for when I have to disembody so that you can recognize my energy upon my return.
That is cool. That makes me think about one of my pets that used to run away a lot, and I'm wondering if he came back in this dog that I have now, who is so different. He's also a lab, but his behaviors, he's very loving like my previous dog had been, but his behaviors are very different, and he's been the most challenging puppy and an adult dog's body that I've ever had.
Wow.
And I've got a little girl kitty cat that's come back to me, and she's a joy. I felt a real soul connection with her before, and she's actually come back twice, I believe. So
cats are actually really interesting in that way. Cats are fantastic at, they are in multiple realms and dimensions at the same time, even when they're with us. And I've worked with a lot of cats who disappear, quote unquote, and they come back on the snowiest, rainiest, muddiest day. But when they walk in, their paws are completely clean. And to me, that shows that they've kind of disembodied for a second. And, you know, they're off doing some work in the cosmos, and then they just kind of reappear and re-embody. So cats are really good at playing with their 3D cat suit, if you will.
Ah, okay. Well, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what it's like to be a pet intuitive. Some people may not be familiar with that term, although intuitive, I think most people know what that is. But can you explain a little bit more about what that is about for you and what it is to be a pet intuitive?
So, you know, when we use labels, it's always a really personal choice. People are like, well, how is a pet intuitive different than an animal communicator? And for me, I prefer the word pet intuitive, because what I'm doing is I'm picking up on the energy around the animal, around the human, around the relationship. I'm not so much, you know, sitting and having a chat with the animal. I feel like with animal communicator, people expect the Mr. Ed conversation where like their lips move or the Dr. Doolittle, right? What I'm doing is I'm tapping into the energy around the animal, the human, the situation, and anything else that wants to come through. And there's a lot of different pet intuitives or animal communicators, you know, however people want to classify themselves, out there. And some are great medical intuitives, right? They know they can tap into the animal and be like, you know what, there's something up with their back leg, the back tendon, you know, or vertebrae 3 in their back has an issue. Give them, you know, this amount of this medication and they'll be fine. That's not me. There's animal intuitives and pet intuitives who, you know, they connect with the animals and they get, you know what, the animal likes fall. They don't like it when, you know, you pet them on this portion of their back, or they like this or they like that. For me, the animals have always brought through patterns about their humans and what's going on more broadly in their lives, because when the humans are moving through those bigger energetic patterns and habits and, you know, stories and narratives that maybe don't serve us anymore, they're helping us move from that 3D reality into the 5D, into the new earth, into kind of our higher selves and more divine sourcing energy. So in my experience, I always think of the animal companions as little, you know, furry ascension guides. They're really some of our best spiritual guides out there, because we have no pretenses and we have no fear when it comes to our animal companions. It's sort of like if our animal companion is telling us something, we're going to take it to heart, because we know there's no alternative motives or any malintent. It's really just out of pure unconditional love. So in that way, you know, we're as we open up to our intuition as humans, you know, we talked about how as children we're very intuitive and then we close it down, and then sometimes we start letting the mermaid seep in. You know, at that point we start becoming more open to bigger energies. And that second that we start opening up to our intuition, the first thing we say is, ooh, I want to meet my guides. Who are my guides? And all of us might book a bunch of sessions with a bunch of different psychic mediums to be like, okay, tell me about my guides. How can I connect with them? And the truth is, our animal companions are the closest guides to us, and they also cuddle with us. How awesome is that?
That is really awesome. I was thinking, even before you got into it, how we talk about training pets, but in a sense, they're here to train us to realize our full potential, or fuller potential.
That's right. And that's kind of the big joke, right? And so what they're doing, which I love, and they're such good teachers in that way, is they love being dress rehearsals for us. I know that, you know, a lot of your listeners, they're probably light workers. They're very interested in, you know, the spiritual aspects of life. And a lot of us in that community have issues with boundary setting, right? Because we're really compassionate. We're really giving. You know, we don't like to tell people no. And so our animal companions are the best at helping us with those dress rehearsals, learning to set up loving boundaries. You know, whether it's they're asking us to, you know, you got to do crate training. Now what? You know, you have to set up a loving boundary. So practice on me and know that I'm still going to love you. And it's really a dress rehearsal in my job. If somebody is asking me to stay late or, you know, do their portion of the work, I feel comfortable enough that I've already had that dress rehearsal with setting loving boundaries that I say, you know what, I'm going to set that boundary for myself, and I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. Whereas in the past, before my animal companion, I never would have been able to do that. I'm such a people pleaser. But the animals have really taught me to hold those boundaries, because they need them. And other humans in our lives need them, and people in our relationships need them. That's how we also preserve ourselves and our energy, so that we can be helpful and loving to others. So So, I mean, you know, through loving boundaries and, you know, independence training, more traditionally speaking, in with positive reinforcement and crates and all that stuff, they're teaching us lessons that really translate more broadly to our lives.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the services that you provide. I went back to your website to refresh my memory, and you do a lot of different things that people might be interested in checking out.
So, yes, I do offer a lot, and it's interesting because it's all going back to helping us see the true role that our animal companions are here to play in our lives, right? Because beyond just being, you know, amazing little companions, they're teaching us so much. And so every aspect of our life with them, you know, how we live with them, how we train with them, how we connect with them, how we relate to them is really what they're here to change and to uplift in us. And so, of course, you know, when we're living with our animal companions, collaboration is key. So that's where traditional dog training services come into play. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, I do offer, you know, private and group lessons. But really what I found more and more is that people want to connect with me remotely because there aren't many dog trainers out there who do the traditional dog training but then layer in the energy, right? Because whenever we're working with something like on-leash reactivity with our dogs, right, if they're barking when other dogs are approaching or they're uncomfortable on leash, you know, during walks, they're fearful. Really what they're asking us to do is look at our own fears and look at our own sense of grounding. You know, do we feel anchored in our reality? Do we feel safe within our surroundings? Have we created a circle of people who are uplifting us versus putting us down? And until I can look at my energy around those themes and address them and really face them, you know, through an honest lens, my dog's on-leash reactivity is likely not going to change. So that's really how I approach dog training, is through the lens of traditional positive reinforcement techniques, but layering in, but what is the energy that's kind of floating around this behavior that your dog is showing, because nothing happens in isolation. Selling course is an online course that people just love, and it's called Healing with Chakras. And basically, it's a 7-week online course where we go each week, we cover one pet behavior and what its corresponding energetic themes are. So, you know, we talk about on-leash reactivity and themes of the first chakra, safety, security, and grounding. Then we talk the next week about independence training and crate training and, you know, what do you do if your dog has separation anxiety? And then we go into, you know, energetically for the human, that's about the myth of separation. Where do we feel that we're codependent with people? Where do we feel there's a lack of abundance? Where do we feel that we have to sacrifice our needs for other people's good? And so forth. And there's 7 weeks with all the courses. I won't bore you guys because I know we have limited time. But the most exciting course that has come up and is actually going to start this Tuesday, March 12th, is something that leverages my Madison Avenue days with what I've learned through the animals. And I've really, really tried to fight this tooth and nail as hard as I could, but it just, the animals were like, no, you had this path because you need to bring this forth. And what I've developed is a course called Translating Beyond Your Business. And what I found is that pet parents were just coming to me and they're like, listen, you've inspired me now to step into my power, step into my soul's purpose. You've helped me identify my soul's gifts. Now I want to offer it to people. I want to be a Reiki practitioner, or I want to be an animal communicator. But they don't have the know-how on how to market themselves. Because a lot of the, especially as healers and way showers and animal communicators, or, you know, people who even do traditional dog training, but they layer in the energy as well, it's hard to explain and put into words what we do sometimes. It can be pretty nebulous. And so that's where my advertising expertise comes in. So I'm starting on March 12th. It's a 7-week online boot camp is what I call it. And we find out, okay, you're looking to market yourself and offer healing sessions. All right, let's find your unique gift? What's the unique slant on it? How do we verbalize it in a way that's going to attract the ideal soulmate client? How do we create marketing materials that are vibrant but authentic in your voice? How do we present you to market? And so the animals are really cheering that so many of their pet parents now are leaving behind their traditional career that no longer resonates with their energy and their passions, and they're finally stepping into their soul purpose. And so my role has been helping them bring their soul purpose through life so that the animals can be happier and more fulfilled as well. So it all kind of comes full circle in that way.
Well, thank you. We do have some callers on the line, and if we have a chance, you had talked about energetic portals and how they can affect us and our pets. And if there's time, let's talk about that at the end. I know we're going to go a little short tonight because Denise has another commitment. So we have two gentlemen tonight and one woman who is a friend of mine.
All right. Lovely.
Yes. So our first fellow is named Bren. And Bren,
hi.
You are live.
Hi, David. Hi. I forgot your name, the lady.
Denise. But I always
Denise.
Get
Thank
Danielle
you, Denise.
Sorry.
And Diane.
Hi.
I love what you're talking about. It's great. So I don't know what question I can ask, but I have a cat, a tuxedo cat named Simba. And I got him in 2004. He was a stray. He was originally going to go to my girlfriend, but her cat didn't want another cat, so my girlfriend said, why don't you take care of him, Bryn? And so I took care of him, you know. And so my question is there anything that he needs or that I'm not giving him, or how's he doing?
So I'm tapping into him, and he's actually doing quite well. And part of the reason, we talked about pets that have been together in past lifetimes. You and Simba have shared a past life. The past life they're showing me is Egyptian, which is interesting. And then they're going even farther back in Babylonian. He's doing is he's helping you remember your regal line is the words he's using, your royalty, your regal line. So it's no surprise that Simba comes in and he carries that 8 vibration of the beautiful leader. I always think, actually with 8, I always think of that beautiful leader as the lion with its mane flowing. So the name is could not be more on the nose. But he's really here to remind you of your regal roots. Not from an egoic standpoint, but because you have all this wisdom and all this knowledge that is really trying to bubble up right now. A lot of, like, it's interesting. They're showing me, like, a lot of, like, things that look like hieroglyphics or, like, light language, like squiggly kind of stuff that wants to come through for you. And they're saying just sit back and allow it to flow because there's a little bit of this blockage. This, like, well, I don't know what that is. That feels kind of silly. So flow, now you'll be more open to it, knowing that it's Babylonian Egyptian heritage.
Fascinating.
They're even saying go through hieroglyphics or Sumerian text, like anything that looks kind of squiggly, start like leafing through that or searching it online and just get your eyes accustomed to it, and that's going to set the ball rolling for you to be able to pick up and get in meditation or dream time. You're going to start getting these symbols.
Fascinating. Wow, you're amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool. I always felt that we had past life, you know, that and that it was more than just a cat, you know. I mean, he had
And it's actually really interesting that you tried to get him to your girlfriend, right? You tried to pawn it off. And
it was originally my girlfriend's, and then her cat didn't want a companion.
Right.
She thought her cat did, and then my girlfriend said, why don't you take care of him?
And so the interesting thing about that they want to point out is there's a little bit of this pattern, and they're pointing it out with utmost love and compassion because we all go through this. There's a little bit of this roundabout aw shucks pattern and energy, right? It's sort of like sometimes when we're faced with, wow, I have Babylonian and Egyptian royal lines. Wow, that's pretty cool in my soul heritage. Sometimes it's a lot for us to take in. We're like, ooh, but as a soul, as a spiritual person, like, is that stroking my ego? Like, am I okay with that? So sometimes big energy needs to come roundabout in order for us to receive it. So what they're saying is sidestep that whole pattern now and just receive the awesomeness and the grandeur of it all because you're the vessel.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Denise. That's amazing.
Thank you. Oh, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks
Very
for
cool.
calling, Bren.
Thanks,
yeah,
David.
And feel free to stay tuned in.
Yeah.
We may have some more discussion at the end.
She speaks
okay,
to my
well,
heart,
take care.
Yeah,
okay,
care.
You and Simba
Bye-bye.
Both. Okay. Okay, our next caller is Nathaniel. And Nathaniel, you're live.
Hello.
Hi
there.
There.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. Do you go by Nathaniel or do you go by Nathan or Nate?
I go by Nathaniel.
Nathaniel. Fantastic.
What's your name?
Denise,
okay.
But I go by anything you want to call me.
I was looking for a cat named Smokey.
Has Smokey, was Smokey your cat and did they disappear? Or what's the story on Smokey?
Cat, you know, it was my neighbor's cat and they weren't feeding her. And, you know, so, she asked me to get her some food. She had babies. I got her some food, and she came and lived with me for a few months. And, you know, I had to believe she had babies. So I gave her and her baby to the animal shelter.
Okay. So let's see, I had a little trouble understanding, but it sounds like it was your neighbor's cat and she had babies and they weren't feeding her. So you took the Smokey and her babies to the shelter, is that right?
Yeah, after she lived with me for about 6 months.
Oh, she lived with you for 6 months. Okay, lovely. So let me check into that. Okay, so what's coming up, which is interesting, is a little... your relationship with Smokey, it was meant to be short-lived because what it was a moment of paternal energy that was being mirrored back. What it was doing, and sometimes this sounds really nebulous, but what it was doing was giving you an opportunity to heal a paternal relationship or a paternal wound in your own life. You were able to show that paternal energy can be protective, loving, caring, and gentle, rather than kind of harsh and abrasive or absent from an emotional standpoint. So that's really, it seemed like there was some healing going on for your ancestral lineage as well around your relationship with Smokey. It was very much about leading from the heart versus leading from a place of, you know, being a warrior and kind of that old patriarchy. It was a very sweet, masculine, but from the heart energy. It was the divine masculine is what they're saying. So you were sprinkling that into the lineage and doing some healing.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so for that.
Mm-hmm. What?
And so I was just going to say for that, the energy around you, but it almost feels like it kind of seeped out a bit broader. Just the energy is saying thank you, which is interesting. I've never heard the energy say thank you. It's always usually the animal or the person. It was really like the energy around you was saying thank you.
Well, I guess somebody else said that all her cats got adopted and she got adopted, so she's doing fine and she sends me love and that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah. Your relationship.
She thanks me for rescuing her from the neighbor.
Yeah. Really, what was to transpire between the two of you transpired, and you both can leave with a bigger heart because of it.
Okay.
And you know, that's actually a really interesting point. You know, our animal companions come to us at different times for different durations. And sometimes they're lifelong companions who, you know, they live with us until they're, you know, 18 years old, and then they transition and they come right back to us. Smokey was really one of those instances where it was a short relationship, but it was very deep.
It was.
Yeah, I feel that.
Anything else, Nathaniel?
Well, I had another cat named Karma I had for a while, and she was really, I don't think she liked the move. We moved, and she really peed. Again, we got some new carpet, and she peed all over, you know, like 100 different places in the room. What was that all about?
So she was quite literally, quote-unquote, pissed off that she wasn't consulted on the move. Carla feels a lot, very headstrong, and knew who she was kind
you
of a
know,
boss
lady. I didn't
lady.
Have a choice. I didn't have a choice on the move. I, you know, my father died, and, you know, I was, you know, I was kicked out of the house by my stepmom.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And so it's interesting because she was saying she would have liked to have been informed. And, you know, it's interesting because we talk about them mirroring things back. She was pissed off. You must have been pissed off. You weren't consulted. You got kicked out. So she was really, that energy was reflecting back the energy that you must have felt as well. And if you didn't consciously feel it, there's definitely an aspect of yourself which rightly so would feel that. So she was acting that out on your behalf as well.
Okay, I can't figure out what that's about. Well,
yeah.
Life has unfortunate turns, I suppose.
Well, I'm sorry that you had such it's really interesting because it does feel like that story that you just so, you know, vulnerably and beautifully shared with us, you know, it's almost the bridge between Karla and Smokey, right? So Karla, you know, she was pissed off in the moment. You know, she got your father passed away, your stepmother kicked you out, and then Smokey was there to heal kind of those wounds and show you your father's energy still around. It's still present in your heart, a loving heart energy that the paternal energy could bring. It feels like healing within that line. And it also feels like your relationship with Smokey brought some healing to Karla as well.
What up?
Hey, what up, Ben? You going to the
gym now?
Okay.
Well, Nathaniel, we're going to move on to another caller, but thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye. Okay, our next caller is Jean, and Jean, you're live.
Hi, thank you, David, and hi, Denise.
Hi, Jean, how are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I love listening to you and your voice. You have great energy. I want to ask about my calico cat, Georgie, which she's in the spirit realm, but I feel her every once in a while, and I'm feeling her. As soon as I called in to the show, she was hanging out, and I thought, I might get called on because Georgie might have a message.
Yeah, so Georgie is showing me herself hanging out around your head, almost like she's showing me as if you were lying down in bed. She'd be like curled around your head, which I don't know if that's, you know, habitually how you guys hung out, but for me, that typically means that she is really inviting you to join her in meditation through the realms. That journeying and astral projection is something that's going to be really powerful for you, especially in these portal times. You know, David kind of alluded to the fact that we might have a few minutes to talk about them. But we are in a really powerful energetic portal. The first one was March 3rd, because that's 333, right? 2019 in numerology is a 3. So the first one was March 3rd. We have one coming up on Tuesday, March 12th. We have the equinox on March 21st. And then, of course, March 30th. So we are in the midst of crazy portal energy. And Georgie's inviting you. She's like, it's open now. Come, come. It's almost like she's showing me a double Dutch jump rope. And it's like, you know, oop, the moment's in. Come on, let's jump in together. Let's do this. Let's jump. We've got this. So she's really inviting you to timeline hop and dimension hop and really be open at this point, because she's just saying the time is right. You've been wanting this. You've been asking for this. You've been studying for this. Let's do it. Let's jump in now. You've done enough of the didactic. Let's play.
Awesome. I love it.
Me too.
Thank you.
So cool. Yeah, thank you. Very cool.
Thank you. I'm grateful. Well, I really appreciate what you just said, and thank you. Actually, when she was physically alive, I'll just tell you this real quick so that I know you can get on with the show, is she would walk up my body, she would kiss my lips, and then she would go down and lay down by my feet. But I've been feeling her, you know, every once in a while since she's passed. It has been at least 10 years. So I can feel her right now. So
yeah.
So thank you. I'm really grateful.
That's her. And good Lord, my crown chakra is just all a buzz. So really focus on that crown chakra and open up. That's about that journey and understanding the mysteries of the universe. I'm so excited. I want to go on a journey with you guys. It sounds fun.
Well, thank you. Maybe sometime
in
the stars.
Yeah. And by the way, her crawling up, your body was activating your chakras.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
I think that she was my familiar.
She was what? Sorry.
I figured she was my familiar.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She's got a lot of that Lyran energy, as do you. So you guys are just, she's showing me both of you guys almost looking like what are those big blue ones from that movie? What's it called?
Oh, Avatar?
Yes. Thank you. She's showing me you both like that with kind of those yellowish eyes and really kind of feline features. So you guys have a lot of that lyre and star energy within you. So have fun journeying into that.
Thank you. And thank you, Denise. You can put me back on hold and I'll continue listening.
Yay. Thank you so
much. Thanks for calling, Jean. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless.
Okay. Take care. Well, let's talk a little bit more about those energetic portals. We have a little time left. We're going to be quitting tonight at the 45 minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
But did you have anything else that you wanted to say about that?
Yeah, you know, one thing that's really important to keep in mind as we're going through this portal energy is it is very expansive. We're getting a lot of, especially cosmic connections and our star family kind of coming through. So what happens is we start to feel a little unsettled, and we might even start feeling a little like really highs, but then kind of dropping down into some lows. And that's just because new codes, new solar flares, like it's all just kind of activating with us. So a lot of folks I talk to, you know, they're tired. Like maybe they have spurts of energy, but they just really have to sleep a lot more than usual. And, you know, that's part of that assimilating in new codes, new energies, and just giving our bodies time to reboot. But the interesting thing is our animal companions, especially around those portal times, can be a bit more sensitive as well. Just like, you know, us, they might get a little grumpier, or they might get a little sleepier, or they might be a little more irritable. So we want to make sure that we're cutting them some slack, and we're cutting ourselves some slack and those around us, because, you know, people misinterpret energies, and, you know, we might all be a little more irritable. And both for us and our animal companions, we really want to drink a lot of water and stay hydrated, because a lot of the electromagnetic wiring in our body is getting upgraded as well. And our animal companions are part of that process as well. So, you know, something to keep in mind, especially on those key dates that I mentioned, and some animal companions even kind of carry that over into like full moons or, you know, if there's Mercury retrograde, they really pick up on that. So if you have a sensitive animal companion or there's stuff kind of going on with you and you're like, gosh, I just don't feel myself, see what's going on in the cosmos, because the activity up there has been pretty wild, as I'm sure you know, David.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Denise. I had some questions to ask you, too, if that's okay. I've been blessed with a lot of pets. I've had 5 dogs and 11 cats, and 5 of the cats are still with me, and the other ones have all passed, and I have 2 dogs with me. Actually, that makes a total of 6 dogs, come to think of it. But there was one pet in particular that came to mind who I'm pretty sure has been with me more than one time, and his name is Sandy. And I was just given a picture of him. He was a beautiful orange tabby cat, and he lived to be 17. And he's been on my mind a lot lately. I have his picture right here at my desk, and I wondered if there was anything that you might say about him.
Yeah, so when you said you had 6 pets, it was interesting because the second you said that, in the energy, I heard a 7th one is coming in. So,
oh my!
Sandy might be, yeah, Sandy might be returning in a new body.
Oh.
So look for a lucky number 7, and you know you might even name that animal companion 7 is what they're saying. The beauty of Sandy was he was very much. Let me see how they want me to say this. He was kind of the divine embodiment of the yin and the yang. You know, they're saying he was like the cat's meow. And so it was really cool that he was a male cat with a female name. There's a significance to that, which I'm not entirely sure. I'd have to feel into more about it. But there's something really significant about the male with the female name combination and kind of a balance of those energies. And it feels like that pertains to some humans in your life as well, that pattern or that energy.
True.
Because I can't quite go into it, but if you know, then we're good, if you got it.
I do know. Thank you for that. Now, do pets ever reincarnate as cross species? Does a cat ever come back as a dog or vice versa?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They come back in all different embodiment shapes, sizes. So they don't always come back as the same species. No, they even, it might sound a little far out, but I have people who say, you know, I recognize my animal companion's energy in this tree or this plant. Energy is just so interchangeable, and it's really, you know, it can manifest itself and shape shift in so many different forms. And I think that's one thing that we're remembering from our ancestors is the power of shape shifting. And remembering that energy can take many different shapes and forms because the boundaries and parameters of embodiment are really getting challenged. And, you know, it doesn't hold true like it used to. Like, even if we think about the parameters of what it is to be a community, you know, in the 1700s, it was your village and that was all you had contact with. And then Industrial Revolution popped in and, you know, the 1900s and it's, you know, it's broader. It's your continent. And then we go exploring to other continents. And now with the World Wide Web, there are no barriers. So we're really just transcending, and we're continuing to transcend. You know, it's the same with our energetic bodies and constraints. You know, there are none. There, it's all a manufacturing and a perception.
Well, Denise, that's fascinating, and I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been a wonderful 45 minutes, and I will look forward to our next time together.
All right. Me too. Well, this was so much fun, and I just want to thank your callers for, you know, sharing their stories and their animal companions with the group, and thank you, and we'll look forward to hearing about your 7th animal companion who pops in.
Okay. I'm laughing because I have 7 animals now. When I was talking about 6, that was a total of 6 dogs during my lifetime, 2 of which are here now. I can't imagine another animal, but you never know. I love pets. I do. So thank you so much, Denise. Good night and God bless you.
Good night. Oh, thank you.
Yes. Okay. Take good care.
Bye.
Bye.